The Tilehurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Hello, welcome along again to our latest post-game show. As always, this is a direct audio rip from the Facebook Live show that we did just minutes after full-time as Reading beat Aston Villa 3-1. So there will be a few references to images. And if you want to go check those out, I very much encourage you to either go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/Tilehurst End or watch it at your leisure over at youtube.com/Tilehurst End. And you can subscribe to the YouTube channel and you'll get the very latest videos as soon as they drop. But in the meantime, hope you enjoy the show. We certainly enjoyed recording it. We'll be back with a main edition of the show after the Rotherham game on Wednesday. So stay tuned for that and get all your feedback into all the usual places at the Tilehurst End on Twitter, facebook.com/TheTilehurstEnd, and of course, thetilehurstend@gmail.com.
The Tilehurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetilehurstend.com.
Well, who saw that one coming? You can see at the bottom of your screen. Again, this is not a mirage. This is not like last week. Well, it is like last week where you thought, oh, that can't be right. But it is right. It's Aston Villa 1, Reading 3. We've done it. We've won at Villa Park. Something that never happens. And we've done it in style. We've picked up that win. And the playoffs are suddenly, I don't want to say a certainty, but we're just 6 points away from mathematically clinching it. And, well, we've got a much better game to talk about this week. I'm Dan Wimbush, joined in the little floating box in the top-hand corner by Ollie Allen again. Ollie, welcome back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, finally a good win to talk about after last week's thrashing.
It's debacle, yeah. Let's jump right into the big talking points here. When we saw the starting lineup for today's game, it had a certain Joseph Mendes on it. Now, a player who's not exactly been a popular player amongst friends. He's not exactly been unpopular or hated or anything. He's just been kind of a non-entity. He picked a bit of an injury after joining and has just sort of fluttered around the squad. He was sort of overtaken in the pecking order by the likes of Yaku Mate. And then we had Lewis Graben and Adrian Popper come in. So he just sort of faded away. But out of the blue, Ollie, he starts today's game. And the reaction on social media is one of disbelief, I think, all round. We were sort of joking away from the Tilehurst End Twitter account with things like, you know, if Mendes scores today, Jacob South-Klein of Bushwatch fame should name his pet after... after Mendes, and when we tweeted out a competition saying get the correct minute of the what time Mendes scores a goal, we'll send you a mug. So we're down one mug because someone's won that. Someone even tweeting that Mendes will never score. If he does, I will get his name on the back of my shirt for 10 seasons, even when he's left the club. So that's Adam Oust. So you're nailed. You've got to do that now. But what did you think when you first saw his name on this? Was that your reaction?
That was my reaction, but I think from all of that, it was almost sort of inevitable that he would then go on and score one. But I don't think anybody could see him scoring two for sure.
Don't know.
I mean, I tweeted before the game, if Graben and Mendes both score, and I couldn't think of anything ridiculous to sum up both of those two scoring. And Mendes has got two, and Graben's got the other one. So it's a weird afternoon. But yeah, I was.
I was going to say, you could end up with a weird tattoo or something after that. So you've done well not to think of anything ridiculous. Yeah. You might well regret. These things do live on. Peter Beck, though, he says, I always said Mendes was a quality player. So there you go. Peter has always had the faith. And thank you to everyone who's joining into the show and the shows in general. It's great to be able to interact sort of as they happen. Thomas Blick asking, has a team with a goal difference as poor as ours ever been promoted to the Premier League before? I think Handbags has done the research. I think some teams have certainly made the playoffs. I think a team has gone up. I'm sure he is watching. So I'm sure he'll chip in with that. And we'll come back to that one a little bit later. Do our research. If not, we'll get it to you on the next podcast. But Ollie, I mean, you look at the match stats. And Reading have more than held their own. This isn't an undeserved sort of smash and grab result. It's not like the game at Hillsborough where you could say Ali Alhabsi's bailed us out of this one. Reading have played really well. Okay, that you know, Aston Villa have had their fair share of chances as well. But Mendes could have had, should have had a hat trick. Graben should have had two as well. Yeah. And how positive is it to see Reading going to a team in form with such a quality squad and pulling off a comprehensive win like this?
Yeah, and that's why I think this is probably even a better result than it was at Hillsborough. because even though the result at Hillsborough was fantastic and we got 3 points, this was a really, really positive show. Yeah. As you said, that at for Wednesday, we had to have Ali Alhabsi bail us out on multiple occasions. But we actually took the game to Villa, which I was surprised about today. And even, you know, obviously we went 1-0 up really early on. We were forced to then go and attack them again when they got the equaliser. I think we could have gone into the break 2-1 or 3-1 up. So yeah, that was really pleasing to see, actually.
Yeah, I mean, the response rate as well. And it was a gamble, the selection gamble that kind of played off. We looked at this team going in and we thought, you know, the guys on Beef Radio Bucks were saying the same. Is this a team that Stam has picked with an eye on Monday, thinking that Rotherham is a more winnable game? I want all hands to the pump on Monday and we'll treat this as kind of a bonus game. Well, if that was the thinking, they've exceeded all expectations. And not only that, they do get to go into Monday's game with a fully rested Kermit, or he played half an hour or so, and just that fresh impetus. And they can play with that relaxed pressure, because had they not got the result here today, they would have been going into that game. I mean, we can look at the league table now. And I said, you just imagine what it'd be like with Reading having 3 fewer points. So, you know, Reading would have been on 73 points, as we did in the preview show yesterday. And there would have been a scenario where if, for some horrible reason, they'd completely choked and lost at home to Rotherham, they could have been out of the top six entirely. Now, even if they have a completely ridiculous result and lose to Rotherham, which, they really shouldn't. But even if they do, they've got that breathing space. And that lifts the pressure on the team, because we've seen it before in big games where teams are facing a team with no pressure, nothing to lose. They take them on and they just struggle to get that goal. And thankfully, Reading can have that relaxed attitude and stay patient and just wait for it to come on Monday.
Mm. Yeah, I said yesterday in the pre-game show that I wasn't overly bothered if we lost today. But I think since winning it, I've realised, you know, what a massive 3 points it actually was. I think it eases the pressure slightly on for the rest of the games. And as you say, if we did get a freak defeat on Rotherham, it certainly wouldn't be as much of a negative as it would have been if we lost today and on Monday. So
yeah, Handbags Harris watching along, and he has delivered on the previous question. Brighton are the only club to qualify for the playoffs as we know them now with a negative goal difference, a -6 in 1991 season. The next worst is +1 Bristol City in 2007-08. They got to the playoff final, losing to that Dean Windass goal. So I salute you, Mr. Handbags. You've delivered through there. Samuel Lomax says, immensely proud of the team for bouncing back again. Thomas Blix says, possibly another record to add to that 106 points and 13 wins in a row then, if we do manage to pull off promotion with a negative goal difference. And Handbags has chipped in even saying, Newcastle to lose 4 and Reading to win 4. Automatic still on. Could still happen. Don't think it's going to happen. But let's have a look at the rundown. We mentioned earlier that Reading now mathematically need 6 points to make the playoffs. Now, that is because that final game of the season is between Fulham and Sheffield Wednesday. So, the most points, we'll go back to the table quickly, the most points that Fulham could get would be 82. But if they were to get 82, it would mean that the most Sheffield Wednesday could get would be 81. So if you're following along at home here, all Reading needs to do is get to 82 points and they are mathematically insured of a place in that top six. I don't even know if they'll need that many, because I said that depends on both Fulham and Sheffield Wednesday winning 3 in a row. And looking at the fixtures that we've got up here, Ollie, you know, Reading with that run in, Rotherham at home on Monday, then we travel to Forest, who are deep in a relegation battle, as are Wigan and Burton. You couldn't ask, really. Or could you? Would you rather be playing mid-table teams like Sheffield Wednesday's running, for example? They've got QPR away, Derby at home, Ipswich away before that Fulham game. Would you rather be playing those mid-table teams with nothing to play for? Or do you want to play statistically the worst teams in the division?
It's a difficult one, I think, because if you look at, obviously, our last couple of seasons, we've been sort of mid-table thereabouts with nothing much to play for. So I think teams playing us the last couple of seasons would have probably preferred us. And I think it's difficult because we got Burton on the last day of the season, and realistically they could either be safe by that point or they could be down by that point. I think you don't want a scenario whereby Reading still need points to get into the playoffs and Burton still need points to stay up, because especially at their place, I think it could be a really, really tricky game. But yeah, I think we can. I don't think we can complain about our running. We can take 6 points off Wigan and Rotherham at home. I think Rotherham at home is probably as easy 3 points as you're going to get all season. Touch wood, But yeah, I don't think we can complain about our running when we're playing, you know, three of the four bottom five or whatever it is. So.
Absolutely not. And to get those games, I mean, as you said, Rotherham, you just want to play them. You just want to get those points in the bag because they got 1 point away all season. And surely this isn't going to be the game where they win. I mean, Rotherham have ruined our dreams before, if anyone remembers that Division 2 run in. James Buick is very happy. He's saying, "Oh yes, lad." He's very happy. And James Short is joining in as well. He wants, see, they're in a Jamie Vardy-esque party, but they just want cheeky J2Os. So, you know, what are you going to do? But thank you to everyone who is joining in on the conversation so far. How do you see the playoffs running now? We had another comment of, you know, would you rather finish fifth still? We've had this discussion before. Is it hard to say now, in Reading's benefit, to slip up once or twice, they do finish fifth, because there has been that school of thinking, I personally agree with it, that I would like Reading to have that home leg first, just because our home record is so strong, rather than running the risk of, as we've seen in certain games this season, just being completely overwhelmed away from home. Has today's result changed that for you?
Not really. No, I think we still definitely need the home leg first. The only thing I would be worried about is if we went to Elland Road for the second leg. Mm. I think that could be quite a force. I think if that wall of noise at Elland Road is perhaps something I would be quite worried about if we went there. But if we went there with maybe a 1-0 lead or something, we might be able to defend it. But yeah, I'm still sticking with, I'd like to see us finish as high as possible. But I think fifth or sixth might be perhaps more ideal if we can get that home leg first, because I do fear that if we do go away, we've lost at Huddersfield 1-0 this season. We lost at Leeds 2-0. We lost at Fulham 5-0. I just think even today's result, I think I don't really want to risk that. But I think we've done well to get in the playoffs at all. So I think, I'd probably take the home leg first, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'll just go back to the run-ins. And again, James Short saying, as well as his cheeky J2O, he said, can't see us finishing fifth by the look of those other fixtures. Realistically, I mean, if you were to give a prediction now, I mean, Huddersfield are the team that I've not put in that run-in. But for the record, their games are, one of them's in there. They've got Fulham to play. Their game in hand is against Derby. So they've got Derby away, Fulham at home, Wolves away, Birmingham away, Cardiff at home. Those last three, you'd probably say, are wins. The other two, not so much. So that would put Huddersfield, you know, again, that would leave Reading needing to win four, realistically, to overtake them, all four of their games. I'm not sure I can see that happening. But how do you see the others shaking out? Where do you think Reading will end up in that top six?
I think probably Fulham might be the team to drop out. I think especially with that, they've still got to visit Sheffield Wednesday and they've got to visit Huddersfield. So I think, and especially with the gap how it is now, they've already got 2 points to make up on Sheffield Wednesday. So I think Fulham will probably be the side to drop out, and then I think Sheffield Wednesday probably sixth, and then Reading and Leeds quite close. I think Leeds have got a relatively easy run in as well. I think they've got Wolves at home, Burton away, Norwich at home, and then Wigan away on the final day.
Yeah.
So I think I could actually see us finishing fourth out of that. I think especially with the 3 point gap we've opened up over Leeds now, and the fixtures we've still got to play. But yeah, I'd probably say fourth or fifth, and then I reckon we will play Leeds in that playoff semi final.
Yeah, I don't know who I'd want. I'd still kind of want Huddersfield. I don't see a scenario where that realistically happens. It's hard to see, because it'd have to be a fourth and fifth place finish for the two of us, or a third and sixth. Mm. I'd like Huddersfield, because I just think Huddersfield, though they ground out that last minute win yesterday, I still think they're falling down a little bit. Although Peter Beck disagrees, says as long as we avoid Huddersfield in the playoffs, I'll take any of the others, don't mind home games first or second. I just think Huddersfield are on that wobble, and I think they're a pretty similar team to Reading. I don't think they've got those outstanding players, those outstanding quality players to really hurt you. Joe Short says I'd like Wednesday. Keep your thoughts coming in. Just going back to the game though, Wally, because we've not talked too much about that. Lewis Graben gets the penalty, kind of takes it off Jan Kermigan, who sort of went towards the ball as the regular penalty taker. How important is that, getting that first goal for him and his confidence? Because he's really struggled so far since he's joined on loan.
Yeah, it's a massive confidence boost. I think he got the two assists for Mendes' first two goals as well, I think. I think he played in the middle today, which is one of the first times we've actually seen him play down the middle. And I think that actually proves, you know, he's an excellent player when he can play down the middle. I think he provided an excellent ball for Mendes' first goal. So I'm not entirely sure why Yap's been playing him out wide or in midfield so far. But yeah, that's a massive confidence boost, I think, especially for the remainder of the season. If, like, the games are coming, well, not thick and fast, but if we want to rest Yang, Yang's 35, 34, you know, he's not going to be able to play every single minute of every game of the running. So 100%. Definitely to get that grabbing first goal and to get his confidence up, hopefully we can see him banging a few more before the end of the season.
Yeah, and he's been unlucky, really, because Kermigan has just been in such good form and is so indispensable to the style of play that there's not really, you know, Stam's not really had the chance to try him in that central striker spot. And he showed what he can do. I mean, he laid on a plate for Mendes just before half-time as well, so Mendes could have had another goal. And, you know, he could have well ended up with a couple of assists and a goal from today. I'm delighted to see him, because I've always thought of Lewis Graben as a really quality player, and he was a type of player I thought when we signed him in January we really needed. But with Stam not playing two traditional strikers, it's just never quite worked out for him. And you could see he's had chances in games, he's just not been able to take them. And I don't care that it's come from the penalty spot. I've talked about this a lot in the podcast this season. You go back to the season Shane Long banged home 25 goals. And a lot of his early goals were just penalties. That sort of kept him going, ticking along, and gave him the confidence to build off. James Bjerk says, I'd fancy us against Huddersfield. Don't see us getting them, though. Can see us finishing third still with our run-in. Yeah, I can pretty much agree with that. Keith Harbour says, if we can get to the final, strangely, I think this team is better equipped than past teams to grind out a win. What do you think?
The playoffs are a complete lottery, but we do deserve a playoff final win after the miseries of the past. But yeah, it's a lottery. I honestly couldn't call it. I wouldn't want to face Leeds in the final. So I think if you've got loads of Leeds fans going to Wembley, I think that would almost be like a home tie for them. So I can see us winning it, but at the same time, I can absolutely see us getting smashed in the playoff semi-final. It really is. It's been that kind of season where one week, like last week, we got annihilated, and this week we played really, really well and beat Villa 3-1. So if I had to put money on it, I'd probably say we wouldn't go up from the playoffs. But as I say, anything could happen.
Absolutely. And it's just one of those things where the playoffs, you know, I've been unfortunate to go through them all. Now, as I'm sure some of you watching this, from the Bolton to the Walsall to the Wolves to the Burnley to Swansea, each playoff campaign has been completely different, and each one we've gone into in completely various... I think we've almost had every combination of getting into the playoffs you can imagine, and none of it's worked out so far. But yeah, I think this squad has got a lot of depth in it when everybody's fit. And again, we were talking about, after the Norwich game, the amount of injuries this squad had. And again, in the previous show, me and you did yesterday, Ollie, remember that Reading got this result without Paul McShane, with Thiago Alori on the bench. They are still obviously missing long-term absentees like Quinn and Harriet. They're missing a lot of players still. And if those players can come back in these last four games and strengthen the team, who knows? But that's an interesting note in itself, because does Stam stick with these same guys that won this game today, or does he still go back to what presumably was the plan and you bring in again the likes of Kermigan, McCleary?
I don't think you'll see Joseph Mendes start again on Monday. I think purely because of his fitness, I don't think. But I think you could see Mendes more from today. He certainly sort of staked his claim for more appearances later on in the season, but I think he probably will go back to Kermigan. I don't think Yap Stam's the kind of person, and we've seen that he's not going to change his tactics or his plan based on one result. So I think he'll probably stick to what he planned to go for and stick Kermigan and McCleary back in on Monday.
Yeah, absolutely. Dave, some good conversation going on in the comments section. I've got to apologise. At the moment, you know, I can only see the last sort of four or five comments, and the conversation's moving so quickly. It's great to have so many viewers, but if I've missed out your comment, that is why I'm not deliberately excluding you. But we'll start to wrap up here, Ollie. Just a quick word on Aston Villa themselves. They are a team with such a lot of quality. We mentioned the likes of Codgers, Scott Hogan, people like Jack Grealish sat on the bench. Is that a team for you that you think they're going to be there or thereabouts next season? Or do you think that they've got those fundamental flaws that's the reason they're not in the race this year?
I think Steve Bruce is an excellent manager. He's got Hull out of this division. He's got Birmingham out of this division, I think. But I think give him a pre-season. I think that's what a lot of Villa fans are saying. I think sort of the jury's still out on Steve Bruce on whether he can get this side promoted next season. I think, and I said in the pre-game show yesterday, like on paper, this is a Villa side that's one of the strongest in the division. They spent 50 million on Codger, 12 million on Hogan. They've got Ross McCormack out on loan at Sheffield Wednesday. They can bring him back in. So and they've still got, and so on paper, it's a strong side. But we said that at the start of this season, they had a very strong side and they've not done much with it. But it depends. If they go out and splash the cash even more in the summer, then they could realistically have quite a strong squad going into next season. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them up there next year.
Yeah, you look at the division and it can change. I mean, it's such a difficult league to predict. I mean, you ask most people in pre-season, they would have said Derby, Aston Villa, no, Norwich would all be battling out for the top three spots, along with Newcastle and Brighton, but they've faded away. But you do have to think and look at Reading squad. I mean, the whole factor around the Chinese takeover has got so many questions around it in terms of how much money we're going to be able to invest and whatnot. But you look at it and you think, this is a real opportunity for Reading. Bearing in mind, they'll lose those parachute payments this summer. And how long will they be able to keep hold of Yapstam? You do sit there and think, is this the season we really need to capitalise? Will we get an opportunity this good again? Because you can't see those other teams being that bad next season. Do you think that there is that little bit more pressure? Do you think this is a real golden chance that we can't afford to pass up? Or do you think, again, we saw that the argument come up in the pre-game, social media, the whole debate of, this team isn't ready to go up, we need another season down in the Championship. Do you buy that argument at all, or do you think
I don't get that argument whatsoever. I think that there's never been a better time to go up at all with the money available, with TV deals, and the money that you get for going up. And I think I think a lot of people are saying, if we went up, we wouldn't survive, we wouldn't be good enough to stay in there. And I think, who cares? You know, one season in the Premier League is one season in the Premier League. And even if you do come back down, you come back down with TV money from the year you've been in the Premier League and 5 years of parachute, or I think it's 3 years of parachute.
Yeah, it's gone 3 years, yeah. Three years and about eight.
3 years, yeah.
Yeah, about 85, 90 million.
And then considering this season, at the end of this season, our parachute payments from our last time in the Premier League will be ending.
Yeah.
And we don't know how much money this new Chinese group have to spend. Or I think it is now or never. I can easily see a scenario where our parachute payments end at the end of this season, and Yapstam, his future's a little bit up in the air. We might see key players depart if we don't go up this season. And find ourselves in mid-table next season. So yeah, I think it is, now or never, but I think this is a massive, massive opportunity, not only for the side on the pitch, but in terms of securing the club's financial future off the pitch for the foreseeable future.
100% agreed. And Paul Dawson and Keith Harbour have nailed it in the comments as well. Paul says, you're never ready to go up, as does Keith Harbour. He says, no teams are ever ready to go up. We have to take our chance while we can and worry about improving the team later. But you look at teams like Middlesbrough, they probably thought, we're ready to go up after a couple of near misses, and look what's happened to them. Alternatively, you've seen teams like, Crystal Palace, where no one gave them a hope and they stayed up and they hung about.
Bournemouth.
And were they necessarily ready to go up? I don't know. Even Reading won the league and we came straight back down last time. So you've just got to take that chance. You've got to make hay while the sun shines, I think the expression goes. Because the future's unknown. We don't know what the Chinese owners have got spending power wise. We don't know what Yap's plans are. So make the most of it while we've got it. Anyway, that is just about going to bring this post-game show to a close. We will be back. We'll have a post-game video from Rotherham probably on the night, but there will be a Tarlhurst End podcast on Wednesday, I hope. Hopefully with myself and Westy and maybe someone else as well. Thank you to everybody who's joined into the comment section. Again, if I've not been able to read out your message, my sincere apologies. But it's been great to have so many people joining in live as it happens. It encourages us to keep doing them. It seems that people are watching. And so thank you very much for all taking the time to be with us. Ollie, thanks for taking the time twice in this Easter weekend to be part of the...
No worries, thanks for having me on. It's been a good game to talk about. So
Got to enjoy these moments. I said thank you to everybody who has watched. If you like what we're doing and you want to help encourage us a little bit more, as well as watching, head over to patreon.com/thetarlhurstend. That's patreon.com/thetarlhurstend. And you can find out how to help our crowdfunding campaign. And if you've already done so, thank you, thank you, thank you. It is very much appreciated. Also, we've been putting these post-game shows up on our audio feed, on the Tarlhurst End podcast audio feed. So if you only joined in halfway through, you can go and you can listen again to this post-game show there. Again, you can't see the tables and fixtures we're referring to, but hopefully you'll get the gist of what's going on. So Ollie, have a cracking weekend, and everybody out there as well, enjoy the rest of the Easter weekend. Hopefully see as many of you as possible down at the Medeski on Monday against Rotherham, and another 3 points.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
@thetarlhurstend
and facebook.com/thetarlhurstend.